The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey, everybody, welcome into today's program. It's Tuesday. My name is Barbara, and we are honoring our veterans today at the Speak Up table and throughout Blue Sky, the family here at Blue Sky Broadcasting. We're coming up to Memorial Day, and so we are remembering the many thousands and thousands of veterans who have given their one life to protect us and our freedom. Here to help us is Tom Lindley, a veteran himself and the Bonner County Veteran Services Officer. He has up-to-date information on veteran services and planned activities and how he and his staff are ready to help our veterans and their families access some of the programs. Also, Special Services Medic Ken Hunt is here to talk about his service and his father's sacrifice in Vietnam. I want to say welcome to these gentlemen. I'm so glad you're with us today and encourage my audience to stick with us because we will be back with all that after this.
Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor & Sons Chevrolet, serving the greater Sandpoint area. Taylor & Sons has been operating in the Sandpoint area for over 30 years. Over that period of time, our dealership has acquired a staff of some of the best local talent in the automotive maintenance and repair business. Our service advisors and managers have over 50 combined years of experience working in Chevrolet service departments. Taylor & Sons' deep roster of technicians allows for same week or sometimes same day appointments. Taylor & Sons is constantly investing in the training of our technicians to ensure we're the most competent service center in the area for your Chevrolet or GM vehicle. What this adds up to is one of the most trained and organized repair facilities in the region. In addition to our staff's competence, Taylor & Sons Certified Service offers everyday value for maintenance items such as oil changes, brakes, and batteries. Taylor & Sons also offers a price match guarantee on most name brand tires. Tires are always on sale at Taylor & Sons. All of this work is performed in our clean, state-of-the-art facility. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? We got parts. Product availability? Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. Get one free set of brake pads when you buy two brake rotors. Upgrade to Brake Best Select brake pads for $10 more, or upgrade to Brake Best Select Pro or Import Direct pads for just $20. Offer in-store only. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Oh, oh, oh! O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Every day, Dave spends $5 on
one ultra latte with a caramel drizzle.
But for less than a dollar a day, he could protect his family with a $500,000 life insurance policy from SelectQuote. And for about the same $15 a month he spends on
honey, what's our password to StreamFlix?
He could have a life policy from SelectQuote. But when his wife asked him,
honey, have you looked into life insurance yet?
Dave said,
whoa, how are we going to afford life insurance?
If only Dave knew that SelectQuote could find him a policy for up to 50% less than he's found online. That's about the same amount as one of his streaming subscriptions. SelectQuote is a broker. They know which carrier has the right policy for Dave's situation, so he'll have money left over for
a karaoke machine with auto-tune.
I'm canceling your credit card.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get your free quote now at SelectQuote.com or call 800-341-6060. That's 800-341-6060.
Details and example rate at SelectQuote.com.
How did Babbel become the award-winning language learning app? We thought of you. All of you. Take Sierra. As a visual learner, she uses Babbel's wordplay videos.
Today I'll share a quick lesson on shopping in French.
Merci beaucoup. Malcolm is a listening learner, so he checks with Babbel speech recognition to be
Precio.
However you learn, Babbel makes it easy. Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
North Idaho's Radio 97.1.
Hey Hey, everybody, welcome in. I want to say thank you for you joining in with me to say hello and welcome to both Tom Lindley and Ken Hunt. I thank you, gentlemen, for being here today and for your service to all of us.
Thank you, Miss Barbara.
It's great being here.
Thank you very much. All right, Tom, I'm going to start with you. And let's begin with any planned memorial activities here in our community so people can mark their calendar.
So up at Pinecrest, at 9 a.m., they're going to do a short memorial. And then down at Lakeview Cemetery at 11 a.m., they're going to do another short memorial. And then at the VFW post on Pine Street at noon, we're going to host a luncheon with, it's going to be bratwurst, onions, and peppers, and cheese.
Sounds excellent. So, and the lunch at VFW at noon, did you say, on next Monday?
Yes, ma'am.
Memorial Day itself. And that's for veterans and their families or
whoever wants to come and celebrate with us.
Oh, awesome. 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 All right. So say that again. 9 o'clock at Pinecrest. Where's that located?
Straight up Pine Street. Go uphill Pine Street, and you'll see it on the right side. Can't miss it.
Okay. It's a military cemetery? No, it's just a cemetery.
My grandma and grandpa are up there, and yeah.
It's just a place where we honor people who
they will, the Marine Corps League sponsors a flag event, and they'll put flags out this Saturday on the 24th on every military grave up there. So when you go up, there'll be little American flags all over.
Awesome. Awesome. And then what time did you say, Tom, at Lakeview here in Sandpoint?
11 o'clock.
At 11 o'clock. Are flags going out on the graves in Lakeview also?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So that's like on Saturday people do that? And who does that? And can other people help?
If you want to help out, it's usually 9-ish is when they get going. And I think they start up at Pinecrest, and then they work their way down to Lakeview.
All right. Very good. Well, we'll repeat that information for you. I encourage you to share that with other people who may not be catching this broadcast. And, Tom, I want to stay with you right now. Would you please tell our audience about your service as a veteran?
My military service, I was Air Force. I did it for just a little over 29 years. I retired as a Chief Master Sergeant in the Air Force, and I was an aircrew baby. I spent about 17 years flying on AWACS as an airborne computer technician, and I sort of got bored and clicked the button and joined the UAV or our unmanned, the drone program is basically what people call it, and threw Hellfire missiles and dropped bombs on ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Boko Haram, just any bad guys.
And you did that with a computerized controlled drone.
Yes, ma'am.
So an unmanned bomb thing.
Yeah, we flew from bases around the U.S. and had immediate effects on the battlefield a world away.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Can I ask how many years ago? Because I got to know the technology is even more astounding. I think this is the thing none of us understand who are not currently even in the military, how advanced the technology is that's being used.
I started in 08. The program itself started in 95. And then it's just grew and morphed, and it's now maturing to the point where they have anybody that you need watching or anybody that needs a Hellfire is given one.
They can find
people by the United States military
and drop a bomb on them from someplace over here. Let me ask you a question. This question may be difficult, so just let me know. But does having these kinds of drones that are operated from at least some of the time or a lot of the time from the United States in other hostile nations, does that cut down on the number of military that we may lose in the field?
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
We had missions where we just sat and watched a group of guys that was out in the middle of nowhere so they could sleep for a couple hours without having to worry about anybody sneak up on them. We found people that were firing on small bases in the middle of nowhere, Afghanistan. And truthfully, you're just putting fewer people in theater to execute the same effects on the enemy.
Right, exactly. Safer and maybe even more effective.
It's cheaper.
And cheaper, yes. Cheaper both in lives and treasure. Treasure of life being the ultimate. That is really interesting. So you were Air Force Chief Master Sergeant. And when did you retire from the military?
I retired 1 May of 2020.
So pretty recently, actually. And when did you become the services officer, if I can call you that, for Bonner County Veteran Services? That was just recently, a couple of years or 2 years ago?
It was July of 23.
And how did that come to you? How did God bring that opportunity to you?
Well, as happenstance would have, I went to a town hall meeting.
Happenstance being another name for God, of course. Okay.
I went to a town hall meeting about the VA clinic up here in Ponderay, and the current service officer, Brian Holt, who's a great guy, stood up and said, I'm retiring this summer, and we're taking applications for my position. And I got hit in the ribs by a bunch of elbows, and everybody said, you will be putting in an application for that. And I put in an application, I interviewed well, and I had the privilege of being selected. And it's a meaningful job. I get to see veterans at their happiest, and I get to see widows at their saddest.
And I'll say this, as a veteran in the community, we're glad to have him.
Thank you, Ken, for that. That's true. And I'm glad to have him because he has introduced me to people in the community that I don't think I would have met or been able to have them on the radio had it not been for his willingness to always connect me with somebody at each of these programs. I like it and I appreciate it. And I agree, Brian Holt, he was on this. He sat in that chair, Tom, many times and answered a lot of different questions from me. Great guy. Exactly. All right. So, Ken Hunt, introduce yourself to our audience about where and when and how did you serve in the military?
I enlisted here in Sandpoint right during high school in 1979 and then went in on active duty in 1980. My initial enlistment was as a medic in the Army. They used to have a policy or a path, and they called it SF Baby, Special Forces Baby, and I went straight to Special Forces on the training pipeline to become a Special Forces medic. And after training, went to a team in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, in 5th Special Forces Group, regional oriented toward the Middle East. So all Special Forces are oriented toward geographical areas of the world.
Because the training must be very different. Maybe even the medical issues are very different.
So very, very much so. So in Special Forces, you fight, the term they use is by, with, and through the host nation forces. So you have to understand their culture, speak their language. And as a medic, you've got to do all the definitive care. So you have to have all the nursing, the pre-op, the operation, the post-op. I've actually pulled teeth, helped amputate toes. We learned surgery. You could put, at the time, it's different now, but general anesthesia. So we would use a short-acting barbiturate to put them under, and then ether or methoxyfluorine. Nowadays, they don't
even use it. Ether really is old, isn't it?
Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah.
You'd get yourself juiced up with it sometimes. So it was totally different back then. And then all of our aid packages were air-droppable, so they could drop them to you. The microscopes all were sun powered with a little mirror, but you could do all your lab works, you could do your white blood counts, all your parasitology. You knew what antibiotics to treat based on your gram stains on your bacteria. It was just so that's a Special Forces medic.
Just covered the whole scope from lab to treatment to triage.
Let alone the emergency care. We were paramedic plus. I mean, you could put in chest tubes.
They say medic, but you were essentially a doctor.
No,
we weren't
doctors. We were medics.
Okay.
And it was military. It's different. But no, you could do a lot. Yeah.
So Special Forces medic. You called yourself a Special Forces baby. Was that because this was you were your dad or someone else in your family?
No,
why were you called that?
In Special Forces, it's a slang term.
Okay.
In Special Forces, you generally have to prove yourself in your initial enlistment. So if you're an infantry guy, you've already been to infantry in one enlistment 3 or 4 years, then you volunteer, then you get in the pipeline. So when you show up, you've got some experience because you're required to train indigenous personnel. So a guy straight off the street isn't always the best choice for that. Excuse me, but they've got a great selection process nowadays, and they do a pretty good job of getting a personality trait that is able to work with a team and still be an individual.
I just have so many questions for you that I hear my audience kind of, in, you know, being curious about also. First of all, did you, like, go out and retrieve wounded soldiers or soldiers that were down and fallen and bring them back in? Or were you tended to be more back in the medical facility that they were brought to, or both, or what?
Both. Yeah, it depends on what you're doing at the time. You could be back at a clinic or at a casualty reception station where you're bringing guys in, or you could be out with a team or a platoon or a company. It just depends on where you are, what your assignment is. And
what was needed
right,
at that
right.
time.
And where you are. It might be different in Europe than it is in the Middle East or Africa or Central or South America.
You know, one of the next week, I think I mentioned, is that my guest next week is going to be Dave Lotz. He's kind of the head guy for Bonner County Chaplain Corps. And they are like support team for officers, fire, any kind of anything going on for victims or the officers, the first responders that are there in the field and after an event. So what I'm getting at is, were you also a medic in terms of the stress that the soldiers were experiencing in when they were, whatever it was that they were facing and what they were doing and what they saw happen to others or to their colleagues?
It's a hard question. No and yes. I don't think I've ever been in a team where everybody didn't care for everybody.
Yeah.
So everybody does that. As a medic, is it specific? Yeah, maybe because you're working with guys that are hurt. But no, everybody on the team is pretty empathetic about everybody else. And I probably speak for Tom. All of us have close friends that have committed suicide. We talked about this earlier.
Right.
Committed suicide and how do they handle PTSD and all those kind of things. And it wasn't as prevalent in SF, but yeah, it's around.
It's there. Around. Tom, just to take that just to the last question, not the only one, but is that this whole question of stress, maybe out in the field, in the moment, you know, you're just like, I don't know, for me, I would think you've got your armor on, you know, you're just doing it. But it comes later when that has gone away, that this is when the stress may really come on. Is that a true statement or is that just, you know, generally true?
That's probably a generalization, but it is what happens most times. And it's different with each conflict as well. Mm. You know, World War I, they had the guys that were cowering in the trenches because of the constant shelling.
Yes.
You know, World War II, you know, the same thing, artillery and bombers, you know. Most of the stuff is you go, you deploy, you execute your mission, you come home, and then you start thinking about your mission. And that's where, you know, in Bonner County, while we could always use more mental health providers, there are some amazing mental health providers out here that are really, I believe, making a difference for our veterans.
And I think you've helped me talk to a couple of them here on the radio. Dante, last name Miller?
No. More.
Rumore. Dante Rumore. Go ahead, just quickly tell our audience about what Dante is offering in terms of this dealing with stress.
So he's actually a trauma counselor, or his specialty is trauma counseling and working through trauma, because trauma, if you sit and you hold it, we're real good at compartmentalization while we're paying attention,
mm-hmm.
but the human brain starts to fade as time you know, the barriers that you put up fade, and then the trauma leaks into other parts of your life. And the sad thing about trauma is you wind up sharing it with the people that mean the most to you. You don't necessarily share it with the individual on the street, but you bring it home and you're like, oh, hey, honey, I found a little bit of trauma for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So,
and the guy that I talked to last year, I'm so sorry, I can't remember. He was raising money. I went to the smokehouse barbecue. Henry who? Henry Clemens, another one who is working with with veterans here in our community. So just salute to them. Thank you.
If yeah. I could too, Dante, yeah. every other Thursday, has an open session at the VFW building on Pine and Division. It's open to all veterans. It's about 10 o'clock, 10 to 11 in the afternoon or in the late morning. It's open to all veterans. So if there's a veteran out there that needs to talk to somebody, there's that step in the door.
That is awesome. So every Thursday, 10, 11.
Every other Thursday.
Every other Thursday, 10 or 11, veterans can get some help in that regard. Dante's a great guy. I agree. All right. We're up against another break. We're going to take that break right now.
If it's been a while since you visited Grunberg's Lost Collector's Cabinet, you need to get in there. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays, located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg's Lost Collector's Cabinet.
Since 1975, North Idaho Blueprint has been a trusted family-owned business, serving the community's printing needs. Whether you're a contractor, business owner, or a homeowner dreaming of your perfect build, we're here for all your blueprint and printing needs. Located in Hayden and Sandpoint, we specialize in everything from large format printing to blueprints, banners, stickers, and more. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, check us out online at NorthIdahoBlueprints.com. Your blueprint to success.
Considering a new career? Alta Forest Products has the perfect opportunity for you. The world's largest manufacturer of wood fence boards, Alta Forest Products is currently hiring for their Naples, Idaho mill, offering one of the highest starting wages in North Idaho, as well as life, medical, dental, and vision insurance, and a $500 signing bonus. No experience necessary. Join the Alta team now. Alta Forest Products in nearby Naples, Idaho. Go to jobs@altafp.com.
Every day, Dave spends $5 on
one ultra latte with a caramel drizzle.
But for less than a dollar a day, he could protect his family with a $500,000 life insurance policy from SelectQuote. And for about the same $15 a month he spends on
honey, what's our password to StreamFlix?
He could have a life policy from SelectQuote. But when his wife asked him,
honey, have you looked into life insurance yet?
Dave said,
whoa, how are we going to afford life insurance?
If only Dave knew that SelectQuote could find him a policy for up to 50% less than he's found online. That's about the same amount as one of his streaming subscriptions. SelectQuote is a broker. They know which carrier has the right policy for Dave's situation, so he'll have money left over for
a karaoke machine with auto-tune.
I'm canceling your credit card.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get your free quote now at SelectQuote.com or call 800-341-6060. That's 800-341-6060.
Details and example rate at SelectQuote.com.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Looking for a seasonal job on Lake Ponderay? Pearls on the Lake in Hope is hiring happy, hardworking people to join them, offering competitive pay, easy scheduling, shift meals, and drinks. To apply, visit pearlsonthelake.com. Opening Thursday, May 22nd.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. We have it going on today for you to remind you about Memorial Day coming next week, what it's about, what the purpose is, and how important it is for us to remember it and to remember the men and women that have given their life. Here to help us figure all this out and talk about it is Tom Lindley, a veteran and Bonner County Veteran Services Officer, and Ken Hunt, a Special Forces medic. in the Army, right?
Correct.
Is here to talk about his experience also. So, Tom, I want to begin with you. Remind our audience, what really is the overall purpose of Memorial Day?
So Memorial Day was set aside for us to remember, to honor, and to celebrate those that died in the service of their country. And it's a weird mixture of somber and celebration, mm-hmm. because we celebrate their lives by living our life. We celebrate our lives by being a little bit better today than we were yesterday. So that's all I ask is this weekend, walk down to War Memorial Field, read the names of the Bonner County citizens that gave their todays and tomorrows so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we possess.
You know, I don't know if this is going to be too, I don't know, commercial or something for you, but do you remember the movie Saving Private Ryan? And that was a World War II, and it was, I'm sure the movie, you know, went off in a few areas, not true, but it was about the Sullivan family. The two older boys had already died, and a group of Army military men were sent with an officer to find the youngest brother and bring him home safe so that family would not have all three sons who to give up their life. Well, in the process of that, several of those Army men who were in search of his name was not Private Ryan, but that's the name they used, but died in that process. And apparently that the commanding officer also died. And Tom, he said, or at least the movie said, he said, kind of the very same thing. He told this young man whose life had been saved, he said, "You earn this now." In other words, you merit this by going back and doing whatever it is you do of value and of love and of honor to the lives that have been lost, saving you. That's just, it's just powerful.
It is. And it's still, when I watch that movie, I still shed a couple tears.
Exactly.
But it is. It's how do you celebrate those that gave everything? It's, like I said, being better today than you were yesterday.
I have a lot of ideas. I mean, I tell people all the time, register, vote, and don't vote because you've seen a yard sign. Vote because you know what's going on, and you know who these men and women are that want to step up and serve us in the political arena. It's important that we are mindful of what we're doing as Americans, whether it's the fire levy votes, whichever way you go, or whatever, or school district levies. It's so critically important.
And service in the military is just that. It's service. It's giving of yourself so that your neighbors don't have to, so that your family doesn't have to.
Yeah.
So that your freedoms are protected.
And we know that the service members' families also serve. They, whether they experience the ultimate loss or not, they lose that person for a period of time, for experiences that they won't understand. These wives and families of our service members also pay.
They do.
Yeah.
And that's why we're in Bonner County, is because I wanted a place for my kids could grow up and as close to Mayberry as possible, and they could be kids and run and have fun and play football and do good in school and have friends that come to the house.
Amen. Amen. All right, Ken Hunt, back to you. Your story is very interesting as a Special Forces medic, but you have a story about your dad who served in Vietnam and it continues to be MIA in Vietnam. Tell us about that and what you have done to try to find him.
Well, to start kind of from the beginning, Dad grew up here, graduated high school in 1953. I've got his old Montecla even at the house. And I went in the service, did his first enlistment in Germany as a paratrooper, came back. I met my mom. She was from Priest River. They got married. My brother was born in Fort Campbell. I was born at Fort Bragg, so we're all Army brats. And that was in 1961. About that time, he was his first tour in Vietnam. He had transitioned to Special Forces from the 101st Airborne at Fort Campbell. and went to 7th Special Forces Group at Fort Bragg after training. I have documents from 1962, 1964, and then he was in combat and declared missing in 1966. So he was on his third tour there.
Wow.
Again, he was a 7th Special Forces Group attached to 5th Special Forces Group once he got into theater. So he's in country doing his thing. Dad was 05 Charlie, which is at the time was a radio communicator. He was a radio guy, knew Morse code, all that. Special Forces back then would set up radios to where you could do shots, you could do transmissions all the way across the country. So it was very common. Even when I was in, we'd be in Utah sending messages back to Fort Bragg in North Carolina. And that was before cell phones.
Utah being someplace in what?
Just outside of Provo. We were out in the woods, something up on
some mountain. Oh, Utah, Utah. Yeah, okay, that, I thought it was
No, we were doing training. There used to be a base out there called Camp Williams, and we were doing training there, but they'd do the same thing. So they'd set up antennas that would bounce off ionosphere and all that. And I was never a combo guy. I didn't want to carry all the weight, but they could do a great job. But Dad was a combo guy. I remember getting boxes back from Vietnam when I was a little kid of insulators and the copper wire and his pad. There's a little pad that you send the message with. I don't do code. I don't know.
So he had three times that he was serving in Vietnam. I'm sorry.
He was on his third tour.
His third tour. How old was he during that third tour?
31.
He was 31. He was so young.
He was younger than my son is now.
Wow. Okay, so there he is, radio communications in Vietnam, third tour. What happened?
So I got most of this information through reading the report. The military is interesting. Everything's documented.
Mm-hmm.
There's such a thing called a report of casualty. It's pretty extensive. So through the report of casualty, the after action review, and interviews of all the guys that were with him when he passed. So after reading all those things, at the time I was stationed in the Pentagon, and I was able to get into his classified documents, and they let me look at everything. He was coming back from R&R, a break, and he was in a helicopter flying in Third Corps. Third Corps is south, out by where Saigon is. Mm-hmm. Now it's called Ho Chi Minh City. And he was flying, and he was listening on headset on the radio in the helicopter. And there was a battle going on below him. He could hear what was going on, and he was close to where he was stationed. But he knew the guys in the battle. He knew them. And he asked the helicopter pilot to divert. They had wounded that had to get evacuated. So the helicopter pilot did. The helicopter sat down in we call it HLZ, helicopter landing zone. So the helicopter sat down. They started throwing guys on. The guys that were in contact was a special forces team that was running what they called a Mike force, a mobile strike force. That mobile strike force was mostly Hmongs. It was an indigenous Chinese ethnic group in South Vietnam, and they were hired by special forces back then to be mercenaries. It was about 120 guys. They were in heavy contact. There were enough guys that were wounded that when they put these soldiers on the helicopter, and one American, a guy named Jim Monahan, helicopter couldn't take off. It was too heavy. Jim and Dad were friends. I've met Jim several times. He's passed since, unfortunately. And Jim was wounded in the left elbow, and the exit wound is his left wrist. So he's on the helicopter. He sees Dad there. The helicopter starts to take off, hits the ground again. Jim starts getting back out. Jim told me, the last time I saw your dad, he put his big hand on my shoulder, pulled me in, and said, I got this, and Dad jumped off.
Mm.
Well, Dad jumped into a battle that had been going on about 2 days, with no weapon, no load-bearing equipment, no orientation for the ground. And Jim said he threw Dad his equipment. And he said last time he saw him, he was trotting across an open area to make contact with friendlies.
So you said something about the men or the guys that were with your dad when he passed. So they were with him when he died. Do they know that he died for sure? Because he's still MIA, not KIA.
He's still listed as missing in action, a presumptive death.
Okay, because we don't know actually what actually happened to him.
So as Dad trotted across this open area, there were two more Americans that were with these Hnungs, about 120 Hnungs, a guy named Finn and a guy named George Heaps. Finn was later killed in this same operation. George survived it, barely. George was shot. So let me back up. So Dad links up with the friendlies. They start moving out. As they keep moving, George Heaps, who was a sergeant first class at the time, was the acting company commander. He was the company commander for this mercenary Hnung company. All the Hnungs keep saying, there's an American back here, American back here. George probably just evacuated the last American. Like, it couldn't be. So he stopped.
Because he thought your dad was on the helicopter.
He didn't know my dad was even there or that was on the helicopter. Okay. He wasn't at the helicopter.
Okay.
He thought maybe Jim got back off. So he started walking back. It's general kind of operating procedure. When a column like that stops, if you're on the move, the guy in the front moves to the middle. The leader, one of the leaders in the back, platoon sergeant, whoever, moves to the middle. They meet and figure out what's going on. Dad was moving forward. George was moving back. George says, what the heck are you doing here? They knew each other. They weren't as close, but they knew each other. George told Dad, hey, look, these Hnungs don't know you. They won't trust you. They found him a weapon, and they continued on. Mm. About a day later, they were in a perimeter, and they were being attacked. George was laying down, talking on the radio, and he got shot through the left shoulder, came out underneath his armpit, kind of blew his arm off. Dad ran over to help him, and as Dad was helping him, Dad got shot right above his left shoulder, but the exit wound there came out down by his liver, down on the right side of his body. So it went through both lungs, his diaphragm. The odds that he survived that are slim, but he survived for about 24 hours.
All right, hold the story right there. We're up against our final break, and so we'll continue the story. This is Ken Hunt and Tom Lindley, veterans joining us today to honor and to remember the men and women, the military personnel who have given their lives for us.
Warmer weather means more projects outside. But don't forget about inside. Stop by Pro-X Home Decor Center today and see our large selection of in-stock flooring, including waterproof vinyl plank, carpet, sheet vinyl, and everything for your tile installation. Plus, schedule a free consultation with one of our design experts. See your dreams come alive in 3D rendering with beautiful custom cabinetry from top brands like Medallion and Waypoint Living Spaces. Pro-X Home Center, your hometown everything store.
Our employee owners welcome you into Bi-Mart to save with our 70th anniversary open house savings book arriving in your mailbox this week. Pepsi brand 12 packs are buy two, get two free. Fran's soft baked cookies are two for $5. Gallon veggies and tomatoes are $3.99. Rustler classic regular fit jeans are just $10.99. And Chevron 1 gallon 15W40 Delo oil is just $12.99. Save now with our 70th anniversary open house savings at Bi-Mart since 1955.
If you're a private landowner with even a couple of acres of timber, it's wise to periodically hire a professional logger to assess your property for threat of wildfire and disease. Then, work to minimize those threats with highly selective thinning. Careful, strategic thinning of the timber on your property not only helps minimize the risk of wildfire, disease, and pest infestation, but encourages new growth for long-term sustainability. Since 1990, Sierra Logging has been working with private landowners to help protect their assets. Property lines are clearly defined, roads carefully established or maintained. Leftover slash and brush is methodically piled and the site dutifully cleaned up afterwards. Log truck drivers are courteous and sensitive to landowners and their neighbors. And you, as a landowner, are paid directly by the sawmill. No middleman, ever. Phone Sierra Logging for a free consultation at 509-671-1158 or visit sierralogging.com and make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
This is Chad Young with the Easy Home Buyer. You know, selling a home is never just about the house. It's about the situation you're in. Maybe you're going through a tough transition, family stuff, job change, or just feeling overwhelmed by repairs that never seem to end. That's why I do what I do. I help people move forward. We buy houses as is with no fees, no commissions, and no headaches. Just a fair cash offer and a closing that works for you. You don't have to clean, fix anything, or even clear out the junk. We handle it all. So whatever's on your plate, let me take this one off of it. Call me at 208-717-2000. The easiest part of your week? making this phone call and finally getting your house sold. No endless showings, no expensive fixes, and no waiting around. I'm here to help, not hassle. That's 208-717-2000.
Pick up the phone to inquire. Call the Easy Home Buyer.
News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back in. We are talking today about Memorial Day, the day that we honor the men and women who have given their life. As Tom Lindley, Bonner County Veteran Services, calls it, they've given all of their, today's and tomorrow's. They have given their one lifetime up for us, and we appreciate it. Also joining us is Ken Hunt. Ken is a veteran, a Special Forces medic, and he's talking about his father. What's your father's first name?
Bill.
He's talking about his father, Bill Hunt, who continues to be MIA in Vietnam all these many years ago. And I want to say one thing, Tom, and just you tell us again to the audience, because I was asking, well, who are the MIAs from Afghanistan and Iran and Gulf Storm and all that? And tell our audience.
Really, with advances and warfare's changed. The nature of warfare has changed. So we're losing less people, which is a great thing. But missing in action, they put so much effort into finding them that we didn't bring OIF, OEF. There were no missing in action.
No MIAs from those different Gulf and Middle East efforts. That's
yes, ma'am.
Incredible. That's because of technology. And just like we were saying, Saving Private Ryan, the movie, but it was based on a true story. I mean, it was entirely with the communications back then in the 40s, it was entirely understandable. They didn't know where he was exactly. It's just crazy. Now we know where everybody is, don't we, pretty much?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. All right. Ken, your dad, Bill, when last you were telling us the story, he was clearly severely injured and presumed dead, but not confirmed dead. So did you go back to Vietnam to try to figure out what happened?
Yeah, I've been, just because where I worked, I was fortunate, met all the guys that knew him. I was working in the Pentagon at the Joint Staff at the time in SOD, J3 SOD, Joint. It was Operations, Special Operations Division, and the guy who was running the office that handled the POW, MIA repatriation, all that, I got in and got Dad's records. So I kind of came up with this plan. I'd go over there. This was in 96. I went over there to Vietnam with a friend, and never liked to travel overseas like that alone. And we got pretty close to where Dad's remains were reported, and I had talked to George Heaps, who was with Dad, talked to George several times with maps, 150,000 topographic maps, and was able just to, Ken, don't go there, go here. So that's where we were looking to go. The first time, we hadn't normalized relations with Vietnam yet, and we didn't have an embassy. So we got close to where Dad was missing, and a local pulled a gun, had a little revolver, and we left. We had an interpreter, a driver, and then me and my friend and I. Didn't go back. Didn't really want to go up there and fight this guy. I think they were smuggling up there. And so we got close, so I decided I'd try to go back. And then again in 99, I was able to get more information by that time. Re-interviewed George, but George had passed by that time, if I remember correctly. But we were able, I went with another friend this time, did kind of the same procedure. We were able to go right to where Dad's reported loss was. And in Special Forces, we carry a coin. And I had an old 5th Group coin from when I was in 5th Group. And I put Dad's, they have your name on it. And I put Dad's name on the other, and I buried it there. Got to where we were close. And Dad, for some reason, liked Southern Comfort. And I carried it. Who knows?
Oh, a good man.
I guess. And I carried a flask of Southern Comfort with me, and that's never gone dry since. Every time it gets close, I refill it. But I toasted him there, and then I took a hit, and then started uncontrollably bawling. I just couldn't have, it was just such a relief. came back, and one of the local villagers and our interpreters were all there, and they all Vietnamese, and they all toasted him. And so yeah, it was good closure. Was able to tell my grandmother before she passed what I had seen and what Dad's last words, at least to an American, were. And so I'm fairly sure he's dead somewhere in that area, probably in a shallow grave. And
yeah,
and you know, I have to say that this story is, there's a thousand stories like that. I was just fortunate enough to be in a similar unit with a similar profession and find the men who knew him.
Yeah. And so you could piece together.
I could go and follow it up.
What was probably the final part of his story. How many other MIA, Vietnam MIA families do we have here in Idaho?
There's a total of eight.
And including
you. Dad. There's seven others. And I get this from the Boise Valley POW MIA Corporation. They've been great. You can check them out online. It's a corporation, but it's a 501c3 kind of thing.
Okay.
But they kind of track that and memorialize them and
and help families try to piece it together. You were very fortunate to have access to all those reports that some of them may be even classified. I don't know, but at least hard to come by.
Not anymore.
At least difficult.
But you've got to know the system, and you've got to know who to talk to, and it helps.
Yeah.
And the Department of Defense every year mounts an expedition to go out and try to bring home our missing in action from World War II all the way back.
Oh, wow.
All the way till Vietnam.
That's excellent. Yeah. And so are there any MIAs? Well, there must be in World War II. Like you were saying on the commercial break, if they go down like in the Pacific during World War II, there is no way that their bodies can be recovered.
So every year, well, multiple times a year, but every year in Washington, D.C., Department of Defense hosts a seminar, and they bring in all the they'll fly in two family members of missing in action. And my brother and I went last year. It was the first time he'd gone, but I've been to several of them. And through the briefings, they just recovered a B-24 bomber crew in New Guinea about a year and a half ago.
That's
so
amazing.
They're still looking. And
I love it that they're still being honored and remembered, just as we're doing this Memorial Day, that our government at least have had the wisdom not to give up on these men. Please repeat, we're running out of time. Tom, tell our audience again where they can go and what they can do to truly honor and remember these men and women on Monday, Memorial Day.
Memorial Day, Pinecrest Cemetery at 9 a.m. There's going to be a short ceremony at 11 a.m. at Lakeview Cemetery. There's going to be another short ceremony, and then we're going to have a luncheon at the Sandpoint VFW at noon.
All right. Well, so, yeah, that Sandpoint VFW luncheon is open to everyone, certainly veterans and their families and anybody that wants to come and remember and say thank you, right? At
yes, ma'am.
Noon at the VFW over on Pine Street. I had the privilege, we were talking on one of our breaks about going to the Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C. and see the changing of the guard that walks 21 steps because it's symbolic of the 21-gun salute, and also in Normandy. We'll have to talk about that another time, because Normandy is unbelievable. There are about 10,000 graves there, but when you see where all this along this area, where 100, Omaha Beach and up that scaling, the young men that were scaling right there, not a one made it to the top. Not a one made it to the top. It's just unbelievable how 10,000 of our young men died in one day on, I want to say Omaha Beach, but it was the whole area, D-Day, on D-Day, World War II, 10,000 in one day. And we honor them and remember them. All right. This is it. This is all we have time for here. I want to thank you all for being with us. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being in our audience. Ken Hunt, Tom Lindley, all the best to you guys. Next week, we're going to talk with Dave Lotz from Bonner County Chaplain Corps. Lots of new information about that amazing service, and you can learn all about it next week. Tuesday. So until then, this is Barbara saying take care of yourself and each other. And may God richly bless you, my friends, and God bless our American veterans.